All right, back on the Young Turks, Margo M writes, and right around the time Smith started this email search, Trump called on Russians to find Clinton's email at a rally.
But yeah, that's another part of it.
Yep, Travis Moore says, Scott Pruitt doesn't care about human health and the environment. He's not gonna listen to science when money talks. Okay, and I wanna remind everybody of two quick things. One is, this is a rare opportunity to sign up for a free trial membership. So go to tytnetwork.com/join. For membership, you get all the Young Turk shows, including Aggressive Progressive, Old School, all the ones that are that only the members get. And you get the whole 2-hour show, you get a commercial free. Go to tytnetwork.com/join, and then promo code is FREETYT. And for those of you watching the show, I went with Old Reliable here. I haven't worn this shirt on the air in a while. I love this shirt. But I got news on ShopTYT. I hope I'm not wrong. But ShopTYT.com, the orders are now fulfilled much quicker. It used to take a while. I think we've improved that process greatly. Knock on wood. Okay, there's a lot of great shirts out there. My favorite lately is the Jurassic Prick for
it's
Donald
a really
Trump.
Good shirt.
Yeah, that's a super fun shirt. And the other day I was wearing Stranger Times. Okay, it's about the White House. It's a really fun shirt. And I got a lot of comments on it. People were like, so I get that people recognize me, but on this, they look at the shirt and go, oh, I like that. So start a conversation, get one of those anti-Trump shirts, shoptyt.com. Okay, Anna, what's next?
Sorry, I'm burning up right now.
Not sorry.
I literally can't take it. Okay.
Oh yeah, what happened to the cold studio?
Well, I'm getting sick, so I have chills.
Oh yeah.
All right, anyway, let's just move on. All right. Two individuals in London were the victims of a brutal acid attack. The individuals were of Muslim descent, and they were apparently celebrating one of their birthdays when this attack took place. Rasham Khan and Jamil Mukhtar suffered serious burns after they were both doused in sulfuric acid as they waited in traffic in East London on June 21st. The attack, of course, is unfortunate, but to make it even more unfortunate is the fact that the perpetrator is at large. Officials have not caught him yet. He's a 24-year-old by the name of John Tomlin, and he has very unique tattoos, so hopefully he does get caught at some point.
Okay, so that's who they believe did it.
Yes, alleged perpetrator.
Right, and secondly, do not approach him, because he might have acid on him. So the cops are saying if you see him, make sure you call it in. Don't try to get him yourself or go anywhere near him.
So I'm about to show you guys photos of the victims that are graphic and difficult to view. So for those of you who are uncomfortable looking, look away as we cut to these graphics. But I want to show you the damage that was done to these victims. There's 21-year-old Rasham Khan, who was an aspiring model. It was her birthday that they were celebrating when they got attacked. And then here is Jamil Mukhtar.
Okay, so let's give the rest of the quotes here. I'll read Jamil Mukhtar's quotes, and then I want to talk to you about what I thought this story was about and what it turned out to be about. He said, he just squirted this clear liquid all over us, which I thought was water until my cousin started to scream. I was watching her burning. Next thing you know, I'm burning. When I went to the hospital, they had to jet wash me to get the acid off. It was excruciating pain, and I was screaming like a baby. So he got hit in the legs and body and face. She got hit square in the face with the acid. And so first degree burns, and they had to put her in a coma and then do the operations and try to help her and then revive her. So when I first saw the story of Rasham Khan and another Muslim getting two. I thought in the beginning it was two Muslim women, but it turns out it's one woman and one man, had acid thrown in their face. I thought the story was out of Afghanistan, because that happens from time to time. They say, oh, you're a woman going to school, your girl's going to school, and they'll do an acid attack, or you're not wearing your headscarf right, or et cetera, they'll do an acid attack. Great, now our fundamentalists have merged tactics completely. So now whoever this fundamentalist clown is who hates Muslims, and we don't, I know you have to do the standard caveat. You don't know, it could have been totally random. He's walking around with a vat of acid, doesn't care, and just happened to throw it at a Muslim's face. It could have been anyone. He could have been targeting Norwegians, right?
Well, initially the police did not treat this as a hate crime because of what you just said. We don't know. We don't know the details about this guy. We don't know what his intentions were. But apparently, due to new evidence in this case, they are treating it as a hate crime. The Guardian reports new evidence had come to light, prompting them to investigate the assault as a hate crime. So I don't know what that evidence is. They haven't disclosed what that evidence is. And you know, regardless of what the intentions were, this was such a hideous attack on completely innocent people. And I literally can't read this story or even report it without getting, I'm sorry, I know I'm not supposed to get emotional, but getting emotional. Because we're now in this insanely toxic environment. People are afraid for their safety. We're insanely divided. The rhetoric people use is damaging and dangerous. And then you read from Rashan Khan, the 21-year-old, and I want to read you her quote because I think it's incredibly powerful. She says, "At a time when all I am being sent is positivity and love, please don't let this man anger you or categorize others. Regardless of whatever was going on in his head during his cruel and vicious attack, I really don't want this to help fuel a division among people. From a large majority, there will always be a sick and twisted minority. Stop tearing each other down. Stop arguing religion and politics. Make peace with each other and the world. Letting this man or the events of the past fill you up with hate will only darken the soul."
So, but I think that a great majority of people on our side, left, progressive, would never make the insane assumption that this is all white people. That's so crazy. Who could possibly believe that, right? Or all right wingers, every right winger in the
all young white men,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
With crew cuts.
But the other side will not grant that. They will not grant that. And so how clear is it that our enemy is not a particular race or religion? It is fundamentalists. Fundamentalists of all stripes who believe that the answer is violence and who like to categorize other people without knowing the content of their character at all based on how they look. That is so obvious, whether it's a Muslim fundamentalist who says you're not wearing your headscarf right and you're too secular or you're too Western and I'm gonna attack you, or it's a fundamentalist in the West who says you don't look right because you are wearing a headscarf or you're just brown or I think you're Muslim, and half the time they're wrong, they'll accidentally attack someone who's Sikh and murder them. So the obvious answer is let's be smart and try to figure out who the fundamentalists are that might do violent action to protect our citizens instead of wasting time categorizing billions of people at a time.
Right, and I think that this goes even further than the whole Muslim debate. I think that this, you know, has unfortunately transferred onto other issues. And look, I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't like being out in public, right? I mean, things have gotten violent. And I'm not trying to fearmonger, I'm just being honest with you guys. I mean, the shooting at that congressional baseball practice, like all sorts of crazy, scary things are happening. And it worries me, right? Like people have become incredibly confrontational, even if they're not intending to be violent, you know, they're aggressive. And we're seeing it all over the place. And, you know,
yeah. And look, and for women, it's even tougher. And because not, this is like the idea, oh, you can't protect yourself. You can't protect yourself from an acid attack if you're a man or a woman. That's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is, especially for Muslim women, Muslim men don't wear headscarves. Muslim women wear headscarves, so they're more obviously Muslim. So I remember the killer in North Carolina who shot the guy that he was having the fight with, but went inside the house and executed to two women wearing the headscarves and with headshots, okay? And he was most angry at those women. Here again, an attack right in the face on a Muslim woman. And then you have Trump constantly attacking women, bleeding from the face, bleeding from wherever. She's fat, she's this, she's low IQ. Man, it's not easy. And look, Ben, you said, or even young white men or young men, right? If we were going to profile anyone, which we shouldn't, it's super obvious who we should profile. Young men, young men are the overwhelming majority of the attackers. Overwhelming majority.
Yeah, I wonder, because I feel the same thing that you do, Anna, but yours is magnified because you're a woman. And you're more closely associated with this show. And but I don't know whether it's actually more dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an answer to that question. It's a complicated answer. The rhetoric has changed completely. It's not, you know, we feel it. It just has. It's an uglier time. We're seeing the cell phone videos of, you know, when somebody cuts somebody off because they reach for Raisin Bran. Like, who cares? And all of a sudden it's, get out of this store, you darky, whoever you are, you, mm-hmm. you know, you're from another country, go back to your, I just was, you know, and you're just like, who, what possessed this person to say that? And I think what possessed them to say that is they feel emboldened and empowered over the last 6 months to a year. But I don't know, are we more violent than we were 2 years ago?
No, but it's right. A slightly different thing. Yeah. We're definitely not more violent. Well, I don't know about 2 years ago, but 20 years ago.
We're less violent.
We're though. Much less violent.
Right.
But if you are a public figure, it's a little bit different. And I don't know the numbers.
I don't know that. Either, and I'm not sure. But there's a feeling, and I would only say that, you know, we should do the best we can to separate the emotion of the feeling from the. But you know, that's who we are. We're emotional people. So I don't know.
I mean, to your point, Ben. Right now, people are like, oh my God, look at all the attacks in all over Britain, and terrorism is must be at a record high in Britain. Not remotely
right,
close.
Not true. Right.
Like in the 1970s, terrorism was way worse, at least 5x of what it is today in Britain specifically, and by the way, across Europe as well. That the Basque separatists in Spain were raging. There's all these different separatist groups in so many different European countries, and obviously the IRA, and it would be bomb after bomb after bomb. So we're much safer, but we need a boogeyman. So
yeah, but we may be much safer, but I mean, Anna's right. I mean, and I feel it. We don't feel safer. The nonsense about moving to Canada, which you mock celebrities for, I don't mean you, but we all mock celebrities for, I think about. Right,
like in a serious,
in a legitimate way. Like, you know what? I want my daughter to grow up around people who, you know,
are pleasant
all the time. You know,
yeah. I'm gonna be on. Like, when I'm out in public, when I'm walking my dog,
right?
I'm terrified that someone's gonna recognize me. I don't want to be recognized, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, ironic considering I still do what I do, but I do what I do because I love it and I don't want that fear to stop me from doing it,
you
right?
You should be able to do what you do and not fear walking your
right.
dog.
Right, but so like when someone like gazes at me too long, it freaks me out because I don't know if they're gonna confront me, I don't know if they hate me, they just disagree with my politics, so they're angry at me, I don't know. And you know, also now, public figures are being put in situations where they have to deal with people like Roger Stone, right? Right in their face. And it's supposed to be entertainment for you know, people who are paying tickets to come see the event. Roger Stone is a dangerous person, okay? He's a bad person. And I'm just gonna say it, like the fact that Politicon is featuring him as if he's some great celebrity and a legitimate political player who deserves to be heard is disgusting. Right? And so now I'm in a position where I have to really reconsider whether or not I want to be at that event. Yeah. And that sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah, there's nobody who thinks left wingers at Politicon are going to attack the right wing celebrities, right? But there's legitimate concern in the left wing that these bad actors, if you let them into the building, will do things that are physical. It's weird, weird times, man.
So he's going to Politicon?
Yeah, and they're featuring him like he's, you know,
right,
Beyonce or something.
Yeah, all right, let's take a quick break here. We gotta come right back. We have some amazing stories left for you guys. All right, back on the Young Turks. Jack McAnally writes, political rhetoric has consequences. These attacks will only continue. The Mad Lib writes, lazy minds want race and religion to be the enemy because it's the easy thing to do. And Ashura Izumi writes in, I thought Jesus was about loving each other and not hating. I think that was in a book. That's funny. Of course, you can talk to us through hashtag TYT Live during the show. The show is live 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on tytnetwork.com. And finally, one from the super chat on YouTube. Josh wrote in, come on, TYT, we need more dancing. Must make all the gifts. So I think the crowd does seem to enjoy it, Anna, when you dance on the show. I'm not sure they do when I dance. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right, let's do some international news. The Prime Minister of India is speaking out after vigilante groups have targeted and in some cases even murdered individuals who either have cattle, cows, or are beef eaters. So there is a small Muslim population living in India. About 14% of India's population is Muslim, and some of them eat beef. And apparently, the Hindu population, which is the majority in India, is not in favor of eating beef. So as a result, some fundamentalists have targeted the beef eaters and in very violent ways. Most of the attacks waged by so-called cow vigilantes from fringe Hindu groups have targeted Muslims. Cows are considered sacred by many members of India's Hindu majority, and slaughtering cows or eating beef is illegal or restricted across much of the country. So just to give you an idea of how barbaric these attacks are, last Friday, a group of about 20 men attacked four Muslims on a train in New Delhi's outskirts, fatally stabbing a teenager and seriously injuring two others. The Muslim men said their attackers accused them of being beef eaters after an argument over seats. In the last 3 months, as many as 5 people have been killed as a result of this nonsense.
So it's... it feels like an upside down world. Like in our, for the people who would be upset with people eating beef in America are, generally speaking, vegetarians, vegans, a set of people who are very calm and not likely to violently attack people. There, because it's attached to a religion, what are you going to get? You're going to get fundamentalists. So are the majority of Hindus in India doing this? Of course not, right? But by the way, Modi, the prime minister, is from a nationalist Hindu party and had remained fairly silent about this issue for 2 years. Finally, he did speak out, which is good, and said, yeah, of course you shouldn't attack people because they believe in something different than you do. And I make the same point about religion, which is I have no obligation to follow your religion. You have an obligation to follow your religion. So if you don't want to eat beef, have at it, Hoss, or don't have at it, okay? But if other people believe different things, you are not allowed to murder them. And you know, some people in this country want our kind of Sharia law, not murdering, but you should follow my Bible, or my interpretation of my Bible. And so I don't want you to get married if you guys are gay. Okay, then you don't marry another dude, okay? Because that's your interpretation, but leave other people alone. And here in India, unfortunately, it has deadly consequences. And the other thing is, it's funny what we choose to emphasize and not emphasize, right? And for understandable reasons, not a lot of Hindus attacking the US, so it's not our problem, literally. But if you wanted to make a big deal out of it, you go, look at this, the Hindus are always attacking the Muslims. In India, that's relatively true because they're the majority, right? Oh, you see, by nature, Muslims are peace-loving people who are being unfairly targeted. And by nature, Hindus are violent. Because they look, if you just lived in India, look, it's the Hindus always attacking the Muslims, Hindus attacking Muslims. No, it's a matter of socioeconomic, political situation where one is in the majority and the other is in the minority, and it's easier for the majority to attack the minority. That's only a tiny bit sophisticated conversation instead of me find religion, hate that religion. No, that also makes you a fundamentalist.
Something about the broad day, the number of times that we've done stories about broad daylight attacks in India. You know, I mean, the horrible sexual assaults that happened there, like on the bus, they murdered this teenager and seriously injured two others.
They lynched
on Friday,
him.
And they lynched the farmer, right? And then they just went onto a crowded bus, and they stabbed a bunch of people and they killed the teenager.
And the part in India, I know it's a funny thing to say, we're a very populated country, right? So even though, by the way, 14% of India is a small percentage of India, that's about 200 million Muslims in India.
Yeah,
it's actually one of the largest Muslim populations in the world.
And 86% of the country is not Muslim.
That's right. But so that only in India is 200 million people a tiny minority.
Right.
But it is true. And so there's these crowds that attack sometimes. So 20 people attacking at once. And it feels so much scarier when the mob comes for you. And so there's this terrifying aspect to this. Again, to be fair to Modi today, he's like, look, Gandhi would never have done something like that. Obviously a huge role model for Hindus and for, you know, not just politically, but religiously, right? And obviously a vegetarian, etc. But his whole thing was nonviolence. And so there's obviously fundamentalists of every stripe in every religion, and the sensible people should be working together to try to figure out how to curtail that fundamentalism. Super obvious, unless you have another agenda and you'd like to. I mean, like, could you imagine if we made the grotesque conclusion from this? Oh, it must be the Hindus. Their religion is intrinsically violent, right? No, of course not. It depends on the situation. So let's make the situation better.
It's valuable to us as a country. Wouldn't it make sense, just from a statistical point of view, Cenk, to prevent Hindus from coming into your country? Just talking statistics, wouldn't that make sense?
All right, let's end on a positive note. I don't know if it's a positive note, it's an interesting note. Researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, have looked into the issue of opioid use and surveyed people to find out whether or not they are more likely to use opioids for pain management or medicinal marijuana. Now, of the 2,800-
Is both an option?
It is for some, actually.
In some states, yes. Now, of the 2,897 patients recruited for the survey, 63% were using marijuana for pain-related conditions, such as fibromyalgia, back pain, and arthritis. About 30%, or 841 patients, also reported using an opioid currently or in the past 6 months. Now, here's what they found. Of those, 841, or 92%, agreed or strongly agreed with the statement that they preferred cannabis over opioids for their condition.
Before you read the rest, when they say of those 841, they're talking about the ones that take
both
opioids and marijuana.
Yes.
So 92% of them said they prefer cannabis.
Exactly. So, and of 93% agreed or strongly agreed that they were more likely to pick cannabis over opioids if both were readily available. Now, in some states, they are readily available. However, in other states, there are still some pretty draconian laws against marijuana possession and, of course, selling it as well. So it's an interesting finding. I mean, I guess it's interesting. It's not surprising for someone like
no,
me.
No, no, I actually disagree. I am actually slightly surprised. I didn't know the numbers were going to be that large.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be that dramatic.
Yeah, so it's a self-selected group. So obviously it has issues with the research, but a lot of them are trying to address their pain. That's why they're taking the opioids as well as marijuana. That's why when they say, no, I tried both, I gotta get rid of the pain, the marijuana works much better, overwhelmingly better.
By the way, not only does it work better, but there are certain side effects related to opioids that I think people are turned off by. So one of them, I remember seeing this commercial about people who take opioids and how they're constipated and they need another prescription drug to help them with their constipation.
Totally. Yeah.
Here's what marijuana doesn't do, it doesn't constipate you.
Okay. So marijuana, it turns out, is the opposite of a gateway drug. The opioids are a gateway drug to heroin. Marijuana actually stops that, and in states that have legalized, they actually see opioid overdose going down, which is great news, legalize. All right, we love you guys, have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.